Well, it's not my money. It's just the peon's money. And it doesn't... Oh, wait, is this on? Oh, no one told me this mic was on. Is this the Seattle Spirit prank show?
This city is under a lot of duress right now. If there were easy solutions, Seattle probably would not have elected a woman mayor. Seattle's a hard place to live.
We can act and we should act.
Yeah, someone should do something. I agree, Mayor Jenny. Somebody should do something if only you were in a position of influence. Jenny Durkin.
Don't drop that dirt, dirt.
And yet, you're only the mayor. I got a note here on the text line. Herman, oh my gee, I thought you were joking about the stupid streetcar being slower than walking downhill, so I decided to race it. I was carrying my three-year-old on my back and holding hands with my five-year-old. We beat the trolley by almost 5 minutes. Why would you think I was joking? I would never do that to my audience. $1 billion. Now, I just give you this warning. Don't get your kids near that trolley. What are you, crazy? Thing is a killer trolley. Truly is. Mayor Jenny should have shut it down. Here's the checklist. Has it killed a woman? Yes. Is it slower than walking downhill? Yes. Has it been broken most of its history? Yes. Are they refusing to give you the details on it? Yes. Shut it down! It's that fast. So the day, I'm sitting here in the office, minding my business, bothering nobody, and by me walks an old friend, Jillian Raftery, who is an investigative reporter here, is coming back now to Cairo Radio. Well, I'm going to do your walk-on music today because you got a bizarre story, but hey, welcome back to the radio station.
Thank you so much. I'm sorry it's not under more fun circumstances.
No, it's just good to have you in the studio again. So you've been looking into this guy who was who did this shooting on the Hood Canal. And this is a bizarre story.
It really is, because the first we heard of this was there was a shooting on the Hood Canal, 3:45 in the morning on Tuesday morning. There's people waiting. The Hood Canal Bridge is open, right? So they're just waiting as the bridge is letting boat traffic through. And someone starts shooting straight through his windshield, shooting back and forth at cars, narrowly missing families who are in these cars. The shooter then turns the gun on himself. So, of course, it's a horrible, really bizarre story. But then we find out that this person has been a person of interest in a murder in Renton. And Renton police are wanting him for the murder and dismemberment of a complete stranger. So here's the timeline. Monday morning, he's checked into this hotel. And by the way, this guy has only been in Washington State for about 2 weeks.
Wow.
He's only 20 years old.
Wow.
So his name, do you want me to name him?
Well, actually, because we don't normally name people like this,
yeah.
But because we're trying to get information on this guy, I do want to say his name because there might be someone who knows something about this guy.
And that's what police, it's so bizarre. Police are trying to figure out, okay, what led up to this? Because,
yeah.
Again, they think that he may have done this before. Krishna Mahadevan Prasad, 20 years old, came here for active duty service at JBLM with the Ranger Battalion. Of course, when you hear those credentials, you think really stand-up person. But he checked into the Econo Lodge on Monday and was gone by Tuesday. And staff on Monday afternoon found the body of a woman. And police didn't want to go into details, but they said the gruesome nature of this crime really led them to believe that this guy might be motivated by more than just random anger. And so they're trying to figure out what is his past. He came here from New Jersey, and they're trying to find anyone who might have known him, who might have met him since he came to Washington. He was driving a 1995 Honda Accord. If anyone has seen him around.
And you talked, Jillian, with Commander David Liebman. He's with Renton Police, or is he with the Kent
Renton
Police?
Renton Police.
Okay, so he kind of mirroring what you said. This guy was active duty.
He was a 20-year-old man, again, active duty military. We believe that he was assigned to the Ranger Battalion at JBLM. He was associated with a 1995 Honda Accord wagon that had New Jersey plates.
But he also mentioned this very unusual crime scene.
It was not your typical homicide scene that man did some things to the body, which are extremely unusual to see in law enforcement and are disturbing enough to believe that this probably just wouldn't have been some random act that he did just at the moment.
That is truly frightening. And the dad who was with his kids, I think he was behind this guy's car when he shot. Did I understand correctly? The dad was leaning over looking at a map. And henceforth, the bullets missed him and missed his little girls, right? So what are the police asking us to do?
So they're asking anyone who might have seen this guy around. It looks like Krishna Mahadevan Prasad.
Say it slow.
Krishna Mahadevan Prasad. It's a hyphenated last name. It looks like he might have visited a convenience store. There's some surveillance footage of him. You can see his photo on MyNorthwest.com. They want to track his movements from New Jersey as he journeyed to Washington State, and then his movements from Monday to Tuesday. How did he get from Renton to the Hood Canal? Did he do anything in between? Was there more to this crime spree that we don't know about?
Right. And God forbid there's missing women somewhere.
Of course. And Renton Police Department is taking point on this. They're also working with the military authorities, law enforcement in New Jersey, and law enforcement around that Hood Canal area.
Wow. Well, thank you for bringing this to us. I'm sorry it's not better circumstances. Next time we'll come in, we'll have our normal fun that we do. But I have to ask you, you've been in the news business a long time. Do you ever get used to kind of getting the details of these things? Does it ever stop hitting you?
Well, it's funny that you should say that, because I did so much crime reporting when I was here the last time, and I didn't realize how it affects you until you kind of are out of it. You know, it really does touch you in a way that kind of hurts your soul a little bit, and you have to try to remain positive.
Yeah, I remember when you went through the jungle. You went through the jungle all night, right?
Makes me so sad still.
Yeah, you were there all night.
Yes.
And so you've not been in news. You come back and your soul hasn't hardened yet.
Well, the thing is, taking a break from the news made me realize it's my way of using my profession, my storytelling ability to try to help humanity.
Yeah.
You know, I want to keep people informed. I want to keep your listeners informed and, you know, try to make a dent in the issues we have at hand. And, you know, because I know what's out there, it kind of makes me more thankful for the positive people like you that I have around me.
Well, so. I try to be positive. Thank you, Jillian Raftery, and the picture of this guy and the surveillance footage, MyNorthwest.com. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
It's good to have you. So, you know, and this guy, I mean, if he came here, he's only been here this short time, but he picked a good place to disappear. But if he's active duty, maybe he didn't pick it. You know, Sleepy Jay Inslee, you know, we like to talk about the governor. We like to talk about him in relation to the cap and trade. Well, oh, we don't call it cap and trade. The carbon tax. Wait, no, it's not a carbon tax. No, it wouldn't be a carbon tax. No, it's a pollution fee. I was going back through some work that Todd Myers did at the Washington Policy Center around the governor's attempt to tax carbon. You know, this initiative that's coming up is basically the same thing, right? You know, it's just a reconstituted, reconstructed version of what Jay Inslee wanted to do. One of the details that escaped notice when the governor was trying to do this, Sleepy Jay, was that the money that was going to come in from this, you know, taxing what we exhale, that's carbon. It's not particulate matter. They're not taxing particulate matter. They're not taxing pollution. They're taxing carbon. That stuff was what they wanted to do with the money. Rather than actually apply it to something like, oh, I don't know, like paying down our debt.
They put that debt on my grandchildren.
Right. And instead of doing that, or paying down our debt, or maybe pretending the debt doesn't exist.
I don't make stuff up. I don't have phony math.
What they intended to do with the money was to give it to rich people. No, seriously. They intended to take the money from taxing what you exhale. Not pollution. It wasn't coming from factories. It was going to come from your home. It was going to come from your heating your home. No, it wasn't factories. They were excluded. The same thing is true with this stupid initiative that's going to be on our ballot. The big factories are excluded. It's basically home heating and your car. They, Inslee, wanted to take those funds and give it to rich people. How? To purchase electric cars. To make electric cars more affordable. Electric cars, as we've revealed on this program and some of this through Todd Myers' work, are not more friendly for the environment. The battery aside, the fact is that most power for electric cars is coming from very carbon-producing sources. And even in our state, they'll tell you, oh, it's all hydropower, Herman. It's all hydropower. Hydropower, according to a study at the Washington State University and in China, that hydropower, when it comes from a man-made artificial lake, puts out methane gas, which is more harmful if you believe that gases like that are harmful to the environment and create global warming than the internal combustion engine. So why on earth would Sleepy J. Inslee want to do that?
Based on ideology and politics rather than the facts on the ground.
Exactly right. I wonder if the guy who runs SDOT has any thoughts.
I can't speak to what happened in the past. I assume it was not a con job.
Yeah, it was a con job. That's okay. You're going to wake up sooner or later, Gordon, and realize the whole thing is a con job. Big, huge breaking news out of Washington, D.C. Articles of impeachment filed against Rod Rosenstein. From the text line, 800-465-8770, brought to you by None Better Tax Resolution, Matthew Cook. Hey, the SDOT guy is my new favorite soundbite. Sounds like a James Bond villain. You should find some evil villain spy music to put behind him. What's he talking about? He's talking about Gorman Sparman. Is that his name? Gorman Sparman, acting director of SDOT. Yeah, it's just a soundbite.
I can't speak to what happened in the past. I assume it was not a crime job.
He's talking about the bike lanes, right? The it only cost $600,000 per mile, and later it was $12 million. And Gorman Sparman says, I don't think it was a con job. It was. Huge breaking news. Mark Meadows, who is part of the very conservative bloc in the House of Representatives, the last one left, last conservative standing, the House Freedom Caucus. Jim Jordan of Ohio, they've filed articles of impeachment against Rod Rosenstein, or Stein. The FBI and the DOJ have been in clear defiance of the Congress of the United States. They have played games such as going through and when they've turned over documents after a year or more of being told by Congress, you have to turn over the documents. When they've done that, they've redacted portions of the text claiming it was national security, when in fact it was nothing of the sort. It was embarrassing to the FBI, so they hid these facts. It is hidden things such as text messages that they didn't allow the Congress of the United States to see that the Inspector General had to go find. They continue to hold back documents and refuse to share them with the Congress of the United States. And the DOJ and the FBI. And God, just Jeff Sessions, wake up. You are a constitutionalist, Sessions. You are a major constitutionalist. You have the DOJ and the FBI who have pretended to be co-equal branches. That's basically what they're doing. Saying we won't be intimidated by the White House. You won't be intimidated by the White House. You work for the White House. You could be fired by the White House, but of course we can't do that. Article 1 in the impeachment is about Sessions recusing himself. This is just breaking news. On September 26, House Judiciary Chairman Bob Goodlatte and 13 members of Congress sent a letter repeating the call for a second special counsel. March 6, 2018, Goodlatte and Gowdy called for the appointment of a second special counsel to investigate these matters, and these matters being the malfeasance of the DOJ, the refusal to hand over documents, the needless redacting of information that was not related to national security, the outright complete defiance of saying of the DOJ saying to Congress, oh, we'll let you know when we decide to turn those over. Well, we'll let you know. We don't think you need to see these. Not their call. When Congress demands something, you give it to them. That's the way it works. March 29, 2018, Attorney General Sessions wrote in a letter to Chairman Grassley, Goodlatte, and Chairman Gowdy that he would not appoint a second counsel to investigate these matters, despite the apparent and actual conflicts of interest of the current and former justice and FBI employees. They go through a series of charges. They go through the fact that on 11 separate occasions, the DOJ has refused to hand over information. October 24th, 2017, the Committee on Judiciary and Committee on Oversight and Government Reform opened a joint investigation into the decision made by the Department of Justice in 16 and 17 related to their handling of the secret Clinton email investigation. And they go through the details there. We want to understand some things, and such as the chairman, Goodlatte, had written to them and said, I want to know, did you ask Hillary Clinton why she decided to set up her server? If so, if not, why not? If so, what did she say? Did you ask Hillary Clinton why she directed one of her staffers to remove classified markings from a message and then to send to her having removed the classified markings. If not, why not? And if so, what did they say? They went through a series of questions that they still have no answers for. December 12, 2017, Gudlati, Chairman Gowdy, and other members sent a letter in furtherance of their previous document request, urging the department to provide withheld documents and to comply with the committee's previous instructions to provide a privilege log for documents withheld or redacted on the basis of privilege. Mr. Rosenstein and the Department of Justice have refused to provide a privilege log for these documents, meaning that they could use their privilege to be able to go see them, as I understand it. They go through the demands they made on the FISA documents that they've still not gotten a response to. They go through the demands they've made to find out who is the agent who wrote the FISA document. Why is that redacted? We think we know who it was, right? We think it was one of the adulterous lovers. That's who we think it was. We think it was Strzok. They're saying, why is this withheld? Why don't we get to know who wrote this? It's material to the case. They go through the interviews with Rosenstein. They go through the interviews with the FBI officials and the fact that they were defiant to the Congress of the United States. There are, and I'm just reading this, I think there's 11 full articles of impeachment or reasons for impeaching Rosenstein. And by the way, let's not forget that Paul Ryan had said that we're going to get to the bottom of this. Now, is Paul Ryan going to impeach? What do you think? I don't think Ryan has it in him. Now, Rosenstein means to have this out in public. He means to have this battle. He means, and he will, you watch, he will color this battle as an effort to shut down the investigation into Trump and Russia. That's how they're going to color it. You know that, and I know that. What this is about, as I see it, is, look, we have laws or we don't. Laws are suggestions or laws are laws. Congress gets to demand these documents. I'm no more going to defend this FBI under Sessions than I did under Eric Holder. Remember the long... Do you remember the video? Have you seen this? We'll have to put this on the show. There was a video put together of Eric Holder saying, I don't recall, like 126 times in an hour or something. I don't recall. I don't remember. I have no specific memory of that. I don't have any vivid recollections of that. I'm not going to defend Sessions FBI or DOJ, just as I didn't defend Holder's. Congress demanded the documents and give it to him. I'd like to see this proceed. I'd like to see an impeachment hearing about Rosenstein because it's a wake-up call to the FBI. The FBI's broken. Further things that Gudlati asked for. Ask the FBI. Who at the FBI was aware that Peter Strzok was anti-Trump? If no one, how did he keep that hidden? Who at the FBI was aware that Strzok tried to influence a judge illegally at a dinner party with Lisa Page? If no one knew, why? And all those things deserve answers. So I'm pleased. That's a good day. We've had a good day, everybody. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. As we're having a good day. The signs of meltdown on the left. Oh, they're making it seem like we're the ones melting down. But let me tell you, there is all across the country. From the local basis, you got to hear this audio of a guy running for Congress who was caught stealing campaign signs. And he threatened the guy who caught him. Ah, call the cops. I don't care. You go ahead and call the cops. And the saddest thing you'll ever hear, you might even be sad for Hillary. No, seriously, you might even be sad for Hillary.
All aboard!
Now this song is filled with passion. Even young Tom can't help but nod his head to this, as youngster that he is. Rock and roll that surpasses time. Randy Rhoads playing the git fiddle. Okay, so remember that. I mean, it's a passionate song of craziness. What is going on in the world of the Democrats? It's a sad crazy. It's I know that they want you to believe it's a passionate crazy, but it's not. It is a sad form of crazy. Sad.
I'm going out to rain.
We don't do acoustic guitar harmony versions of Crazy Train. No. Sorry. It's that form of crazy. From the local to the national, there is a case in Ithaca, New York, legal insurrection, William Jacobson. They have watched the theft of campaign signs in Ithaca. It's not his fault he lives in Ithaca. He's a college professor, and he's an openly conservative college professor at that, Jacobson, from Legal Insurrection. They've been tracking the theft of these signs. And a liberal activist and an opponent of a guy running for office, Tom Reed, there's this guy named Gary McCaslin. So this guy McCaslin is an insane agitator for the left. And apparently he was out stealing campaign signs, but the campaign manager for the Republican did something really clever. They put a GPS unit in the sign. A little tiny, I don't know if it's an RFID or it's GPS. The article says it's GPS. So they were tracking their signs with GPS because they've been being stolen. And by the way, the sign itself is very funny. It's hippie kind of font and rainbow colors. And it says extreme Ithaca liberal, because this guy, this Republican's making fun. Like, yes, I'm just another extreme Ithaca liberal. So this this leftist, Gary McCaslin, he gets a knock on his door from the campaign manager for Tom Reed, this young guy, Nick Weinstein. And Nick's there because he wants his GPS device back. So he knocks on the guy's door.
They've been disappearing. A lot of them.
You found the sign. Let it go.
No, you found the sign. I'm keeping the tracker.
No.
You call the police then. I'll be right here.
Okay, so the guy stole the sign, but he won't give the tracker back. He says, you call the police. So they did. They called the cops. And this clown, this leftist, got charged with petty larceny. And he's going to have to go to court on petty larceny. And he tried to get off. His key defense is, I tried to give it back. Well, no, the police don't let you do that. Because the cops came to his house and investigated. Do you have the GPS unit? Yes, I do. And I want to give it back. And the police said, no, it doesn't work that way. You stole it. You wouldn't give it back to him. You don't get to give it back now. We're not referees. We're cops. So you're going to get charged. So this guy hires a lawyer to try to defend against the indefensible. Not only did he steal a campaign sign. Oh, by the way, you know what his excuse for stealing the campaign sign was? He's simply acting as a good citizen to keep our highways clear. So now his lawyer is on the TV outside the courtroom.
I have never seen something that is such a gross miscarriage of justice as what we've seen in this case.
No, it's not. He stole the sign. It had a GPS unit in it. He forgot to give it back. And furthermore, he stole the campaign sign, trying to mess with someone's First Amendment rights to express their political views. Now, do you see how sad this is? But it gets sadder, in my opinion. I want you, this is hard. What I'm going to ask you to do is, it's horrific. And I apologize for asking you to do it. If it wasn't necessary for the program, I would never consider it. I want you to put yourself, all right, sorry, coughing something up, hold on. Hold on. I want you to pretend that you are, good Lord, kind of crazy pain in my left arm, my aorta, kind of swollen up. I'll work out. I want you to pretend that you're Hillary Clinton. Sorry. And that you have a theme song that you're going to hear in 3, 2, 1. But pretend you're her.
My emails are so boring. I'm embarrassed about that.
Sweet dreams are near these. Who am I to decide? travel the world and the seven seas. Everybody looking for something.
Now, remember I told you, it's a crazy sort of sad. So we're still, and I know, trust me, I just about had a stroke when I was trying to pretend I was Hillary. Now, put yourself in her position. There is an event back east. The Free Beacon reports on this, Nick Rowan. It's an event, and I mispronounced Bob Goodlatte's name as Goodlatte. I don't know how to pronounce this either. Aussie Fest, and by the way, his name should be Goodlatte, okay? It's a mean trick because his name says latte in it. And I'm filing a complaint. That's it. Harshly worded, I might add, to Bob Goodlatte. Change your name. Goodlatte. That's how it's pronounced. So there's an event back east. It's called Aussie Fest or Aussie Fest. And it's in Central Park's Rumsey Field. They give you a taste of this event. So imagine you're Hillary. You have to go speak at this event. It's filled with young people with home dyed hair saying things like this. A young man walking through Central Park. Oh, those are the new Oxfords I want, he says, pointing down to the man's shoes in front of him. She, the young lady who earlier had been lecturing a homeless person playing in the subway, that playing his guitar fretless would greatly expand his guitar's tonal range, tosses her dyed hair to the side and says, you know I don't approve of that. Hey, come on, he says. They have less branding than before. This is a typical interaction at this fest that they describe, the New York Times does, as part music festival, part TED Talk, part food fair. But it's much more like CPAC. They're trying to get people fired up. They're trying to get people fired up to see Cory Booker. They're trying to get people fired up for new thoughts like Enlightenment Now, the case for reason, science, humanism, and progress. In the first chapter on the equal rights, the writer of the book says, I wrote that one of the signs of how women have progressed is the leaders of the three most influential nations in the world, Germany, Britain, and the United States, are all women. Whoops, I missed the mark there. No one in the audience laughs. Arms crossed. A woman standing in the back pats her boyfriend's posterior in an affectionate gesture, helping him through his grief. Folks, this is last week. Helping him through his grief. This is last week. There's drag queens on stage. They're asking people to create dates out of the affair. There's some guy from Sweden. He says, we don't date in Sweden, so this concept is new to me. We just go get drunk and go home together. The crowd laughs and claps. And into this rolls a Crown Victoria. And the Crown Victoria has sirens. Beep, 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 beep. People back out of the way. They surround the doors. Is it her? Is it her? And into this goes Hillary Clinton. Moo moo. Looks like a tablecloth. Gets on stage in front of hipsters who are screaming their heads off to hear her. And the only thing she's able to deliver in front of this crowd? I would have won except it was for Russia. The crowd goes silent. Now, are you sad for her?
Down on Main Street.
Hey, thanks for listening all day to the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. I made some surprise travel this weekend. Not really an emergency travel, but not something I expected to do and was called upon to do it and needed to be done. It was a parenting thing. And you know what? I got to spend an incredible amount of time with my daughter. So on a personal note, here's to chances to be parents. One part of the personal note. Got to go back and meet my daughter back where she was at camp and bring her home. And spend some time that just was so needed for me to be a dad again, right? Because as kids grow and they age, it's sometimes I don't feel as much as a dad. So I want to just say how incredible it was to once again feel like the dad. And I loved every second of it. didn't love the circumstances, didn't love having the surprise, got to go to the East Coast. But I wanted to do something else in this personal note, a series of thank yous. So I sent a note on Saturday. Hey, I won't be on Monday. I want to thank the management team at this radio station. All of them said, go do what needs to get done. Not a second of hesitation. I want to thank the GM, Dave. I want to thank the program director. I want to thank them for not questioning what I needed to do. I was supposed to also be available to fill in for my good friend and colleague, Dory Monson, on Car Radio from noon to three, because he was coming back from Ellensburg. He didn't know if he'd make the first part of a show, so I'd agreed to be ready to fill in. I CC'd Dory in my note. Dory wrote back seconds later, said, no, forget it. It's fine. You go do what you need to do. From everybody in this corporate entity, my friend Ron Upshot, Car Radio, we had something worked out. We were going to work on a business together. Ron, say, hey, get going. But it doesn't stop there. You know, in times of crisis, it's always incredible to see how people gather around. So because I had to make these last-minute reservations, and I used to be somebody on Alaska Airlines, I used to be really important to them because I was a nearly a million miler with these guys, made a phone call to the good old VIP line, and I told them, listen, I don't have status anymore, but I'm having a real emergency. Can you help me? And the people at Alaska Airlines, if you work there, you work for a really amazing company. People stopped what they were doing, and they got me there, and they got us home. And they did that not in a way that would be the normal corporate way. They cleared obstacles. I want to thank a woman, believe it or not, just a woman I'd never met, where I flew back. They were having a huge festival in town. There were no hotels. There were no Airbnbs. But a lady called around and sent out the word, there's a dad coming back to pick up his daughter, and he needs a place to stay. And I got a place to stay, and a really nice place to stay, because folks gathered around me. I loved it. Loved every minute of seeing people rally. And I wanted to express this as well. To the folks who know what was going on, and the notes that people sent to having your back. You know what it means as a parent to hear from other parents saying, wow, did the same thing. I got a lot of notes from a lot of parents saying, oh, yeah. Yeah, we've gone through the same thing with our kids. And you know, the biggest thing I wanted to thank, the biggest area that I just want to express my gratitude is to my kid. My daughter went back and to go to this camp, and she determined, like, you know what? I don't think this is a healthy environment. I don't think this is going to be a helpful place for me. I mean, we did research in this place. We looked around at this place, and it seemed on paper and on video to be a great place. My daughter didn't make some like rash decision. She was there a good long 2.5 weeks. She gave it a shot, but she determined, you know what? This place is bad for me. That's a tough thing for a young girl to do, and then to stand up to the adults and say, no, this is not healthy for me. I need to come home. I'll tell you, flying across the country at a surprise, flying all day, getting into New York late at night, driving to where I needed to go to pick my daughter up, and getting there at 3:00 in the morning to see her now awake with one of the camp counselors, who was a wonderful lady. Oh, what an angel. 3:00 in the morning. My daughter recognizes... Sorry. My daughter recognizes her dad from 100 yards away. And in the dark. And I see her hand go up in the air. And I see her wave at me. And I told you last week, I was hoping that when she came back from camp, I'd get that hug that I got when she was a little kid and we hadn't seen each other for months. When I was working in D.C. and I saw her at Reagan Airport, and she came running up to me, Dad! Well, she didn't come running up to me and say, Dad. She walked up. But man, did I get a hug. A hug like I used to get from one of the people I love the most in this world, and the one person for whom I would do the most. Right? My daughter. And to be able to hold her in that like light rain way back east, and to be able to hear her say, "Thank you for coming to get me." Of course. Won't we always want to come and get our kids? Right? Yeah, I know. Gotta work on letting them be their own people. But dang, am I proud of my girl for saying, "This is not where I need to be. Not a good place for me." Brave. This is the Todd Herman Show. We air every weekday, 3 to 6 p.m. I will see you tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Be well, be strong, and be kind.